the champion marched for 40 days, saying, "Give me a man to fight." The Israelites said, "We got a brave heart, but our feet are sort of full of fright." Then a boy with a sling, a pocket full of rocks, that knew how to trust and pray, said, "If you're going to run, Goliath, you might as well take off now, because I came here to stay." Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. Now the decree had been signed by the hand of the king. Daniel still prayed to the Lord. The hungry lions pacing the den. "Here comes supper," one roared. And if you'd have been standing anywhere close, you'd have heard Brother Daniel say, "If you're talking about me, forget it, boys. I came in here to stay." Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came. Now, the boys wouldn't bow. The king got mad and said, "Turn that old furnace up. High time up. Throw them on in. The Hebrew boys are going to fry." A little while later, he looked in the furnace. He heard Brother Shadrach say, "Pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hand. We came in here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. I want all the preachers to stand, every preacher. I've got a stanza I wrote for you. On the way to Dallas in the plane. Now the preachers wouldn't bow. The state got mad and said, "Turn those rules up high. Time up. Put the pressure on them. Their freedom and liberty is going to die." A little while later, they looked in the churches. They heard God's prophets say, "We may burn, but we'll never bend. Our God's just the same today." Run if you want to, run if you will. Came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
All right, now check it out. Can you hear me now? There we go. Now we're back on. Wrong button. Should be able to hear me now. Okay. Wrong button. There was a button that wasn't pushed in. That's what happens when people play with my stuff over here. Stuff gets moved around, switched around, jostled around. Anyway, we're going to talk about a few things that I may cut out early here today. We'll still get a full 2 hours in, but we're going to go over some of these things that are applicable right now and that kind of go through what we're doing. But let me play another song here for you. We'll get everybody on here.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times old Satan whispered, there's no need to try, for there's no end of your sorrow, and there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. And when this old long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this old barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
You know, Brother Roloff, his songs make me want to fight, man. I'm in a mood to fight the devil today. I really am. And the devil's, and against the devil's cause today. So I really am in a mood to do it. I'm in a scrappy mood right now. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just in a really scrappy mood. I'm kind of fired up because when I see the things that are going on and I look at what's going on in our world today and just the audacity of evil, is there not a cause for us to rise up and do something? Plus, it's like 450 below outside, so it's not like we're able to go out and preach, so I'll preach on here right now. I'm just in a scrappy mood right now to fight the devil and to fight the cause of the Lord. Amen? So, you know, we're going to look at some things like that today here, some of these challenges that are there. Let's play this song here. We'll get ready here to go. I like this one here. I love Brother Roloff singing. It's a manly voice. He just barrels it out there in a man's way. Just a normal, plain, nothing fancy type singing, and I love it.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in all thy way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children alone. And some 36 years ago, the Lord placed His omnipotent hand on the shoulders of the most unworthy country boy and called him from his single-row cultivator into the ministry of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. And surely, He has led us safely along and been more than our heart ever had a right to expect. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children alone. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of the night, God leads His dear children alone. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a sweet song in the night season and all the day long.
Amen. I love it, man. I love that music. And, this next recording is not that good. It's, it was recorded 40 years ago. What do you expect, right? But anyway... we're going to play it, and then we're going to get into some things here. I'm going to talk about this article a little bit. I'm going to play to you what I talked about Haeckel. When I talked about Haeckel years ago, many, many years ago, I've been on these evolution cultists, these occultists that are in that preach and teach evolution. Let me tell you something, man. I'm going to get fired up about this, man. I can already feel it, because I'm going to tell you, these guys are the reason why babies are murdered today. These people right here, these evolutionists, these wicked little devils are the reason why babies are murdered today. That's why it's so popular to murder babies. And we'll talk about what the true conspiracy really is. That's what we'll talk about. We'll talk about the spirit behind who's really conspiring. Right? Good idea, isn't it? I like this song, even though it sounds kind of... Here we go.
Today, tomorrow may bring, shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know rules it for everything, and all of my No matter what he builds, the tide, why should I then care? Though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side, sing it, live by faith.
Play this one here.
We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's Him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
All right. Amen. beneath the cleansing flood. Victory in Jesus. Victory only comes in Jesus. And our wars and our battles are fought for the Lord, and there is a battle today to fight. There is a war in which we that are the children of God are engaged in. And it is a war against the beast. It is a war against the beast system. And it is a war against the beast religion. Which, make no mistake about it, evolution is the religion of the beast. It is. One need only take a quick look at Romans chapter 1, which we will do, which I have ready for you right now. Romans chapter 1. If you have a Bible handy, get it. Romans chapter 1. This is the image, this is the religion of the beast. That's what Romans chapter 1 is really describing. See, there's only really two faiths in the world. There is biblical Christianity, there is Christ, and then there is Antichrist. There are two spirits in the world today, primarily. There is Christ Jesus the Lord. And then there is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Those two spirits. Snopes and the people that work for Snopes are of the world. And they're of their father, the devil. And the lust of their father they will do. They are murderers like their father from the beginning, and they abode not in the truth. For there is no truth in them. When they speaketh a lie. That's who they are. That's what they are. And that's why they hate the God of the Bible. And that's why they hate biblical Christianity. And that's why they want to call it a conspiracy. That's why they want to call creationism. They want to call creationism conspiracy. When the real conspiracy is the religion of the beast. Which we know that in Romans chapter 1, when we go from Romans chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 13, we find the culmination of the religion of the beast. We see it. That's the religion of the beast. It is explained to us in Romans chapter 1, oh my goodness, I have like this outline in my head right now where I just want to change my whole title up and just call it the religion of the beast. But I want to get Snopes in there too, so let's see what happens. Right? But we see where the if we go to Genesis chapter 3, well, Mr. Modus, the problem is not whether you see it as an authority. The problem is lost, hellbound sinners see it as an authority. And the problem is that when we look at that, we don't just look for ourselves, we look for those that are trapped and ensnared by the devil, that are taken by him at his will. And those are the people that we're trying to rescue. Remember, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Those are the ones that are dead. So where do we find the first of the religion of the beast? We find it right here. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So we find here the religion of the beast right in Genesis chapter 3. We find it coming on right here. So let's look for the conspiracy, shall we? Which conspiracy is it? Well, the truth is in Christ, we know. But there was a conspiracy that started in Genesis chapter 3. Here it is. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So you will evolve. You'll evolve. You'll get better. This is the religion of the beast. That is, in your flesh dwelleth some good thing. And that because of thy flesh, well, you could certainly rise. You could certainly ascend. So here is the beast. Here is the beginning of the conspiracy. Here is the attack against creation. Here's the very attack that begins right here. So we understand that as we get started here, that this is the entrance of the religion of the beast. Not much has changed. The Bible foretold of evolution being taught. It's right here. It's in Revelation. It's in Romans chapter 1. But evolution is, mark my words and understand, evolution is nothing more than the religion of the beast. That's all it is. That's it. If you want to understand evolution, then you understand it is the religion of the beast. And Snopes, they have a religious bias. They hold to the religion of the beast. I, too, have a religious bias. I hold to the religion of Christ. I hold to that pure religion that is undefiled. They hold to the religion of the beast. See, we both hold to a religion. We both do. Evolutionists do. They hold to a religion. They do. Don't ever let them kid you. They say, oh, we don't believe anything by faith. Really? Did you see a Big Bang? Where's your evidence of the Big Bang? Where's the evidence that you saw a Big Bang take place? And where is it in the structure where is it in your worldview? Where is it in your worldview that nothing could blow up into something? Where is that? Well, it's not there. All right, let me say hi to some folks. Let me say hi to my dad. I love you, Dad. Glad you're listening out there. And let's see, Andrea, Joe, Carl, Rachel, Carl Winters. You have to say his name like that. It's probably not even his real name. His name's probably Carl Guadalupe, something weird like that. Dorito. That's probably his real name. It's probably not Carl Winters. Do you really think that there's a guy that lives in Croatia named Carl Winters? Do you think that's true? Come on. It's like Espinanzo, El Guadalupeo. It's something very long. It's not Carl Winters. Nobody believes that. And now that I've crossed every racially insensitive line, I'll move on. Okay, let's see here. Pilgrim Lady. Mary Teresi. Paul Pearson. Joshua Burnham. Terry Acker. That sounds like something you sneeze. Acker. Or like a cough. Do you think it's real? Maybe it's real. Dick Nixon. Do I really believe that you're Richard Nixon? Probably not. Probably not. I think it's a conspiracy. Maura Hoffman. Jesse Scruggs, I know he's real. I've met him. I've sat in his house. I've ate dinner with him. I know Jesse Scruggs is real. Teresa Darrell's wife, I know they're real. They're real. Makeup and theology? No, I don't think so. That's not real. That's something weird. That's a conspiracy right there. Mr. Maw Deuce, I heard that's like a gun or something. So, who knows if that's... Let it rain? Not really, it's freezing out there. You don't want it to rain. It's like... It's literally like 20 below outside. It's freezing. If it rained here, it'd be terrible. Let's see. A.D. Marshall. Okay, let's see here. Ann Rose. Peter. Danielle. Becca. Ramirez, that's right, Ramirez. Richard M. Nixon, that's his name. He is Richard Nixon. I don't think you're a crook, Richard. You just got caught, man. It's all. It's a conspiracy. And Summer. I bet she wishes Summer was here. Probably not. She likes the winter. Okay, here we go. All right, so let's get back into it. Now that we're done with all the pleasantries, let's get to all the bad stuff here. And then we'll get to some good stuff. Okay. So we're going to look at this Snopes article. Snopes is a website that thinks that they can correct everybody and say, well, this is phony or this isn't real. So, oh, yep, sorry, my wife. Sorry, Hannah. And probably all the children are listening, too. Probably not. They're probably not listening. My mom's listening. I bet my mom's listening. Mom, are you playing that bubble game or are you listening? All right, we'll see. Yeah. I thought about not using my real name, but it's too late. I've already used it everywhere, and I can't get out of it. I'm everywhere when it comes to that. I can't hide. I don't want to anyway, I'm just kidding. Why creationism bears all the hallmarks of a conspiracy theory. Well, after you read this, just the title, you pretty much know they hate God, don't you? It's not too hard to realize they hate the God of the Bible, but nobody hates fairy tales, because nobody's writing against Peter Pan. Nobody's writing against Walt Disney. Nobody's writing against witchcraft. Right? So, I heard about you, Peter and Carl. You better behave yourselves out there. Okay. So, this article about creationism is republished here with permission from The Conversation. This content is shared here because the topic may interest Snopes readers. It does not, however, represent the work of Snopes fact checkers or editors. Well, what Snopes is actually telling you is we hate God so much that we want to post this. We haven't fact checked it, but we don't care. We just hate God. Right? That's what they're telling you. Many people around the world looked on aghast as they witnessed the harm done by conspiracy theories such as QAnon and the myth of the stolen U.S. election that led to the attack on the U.S. Capitol building on January 6th. Okay, let's stop right there and say, could you be any more limp-wristed, weak, and babies? You sound like AOC, a big crybaby, like California Valley girl that's from New York, that said she feared for her life when she wasn't even in the Capitol. Which we all know that the FBI was involved with. We all know they infiltrated the Proud Boys. We all know that they went and visited all the people the week before. But I bet you won't hear that on Snopes, will you? Of course not. So many people around the world were looking on and aghast at QAnon. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I sit around all day worried about what QAnon said. You know who's more scary than QAnon? Oh, I'll show you. Let me show you. Let me show you who's way more scarier than QAnon. Let me see if I can find it. Maybe I didn't put it on here. Oh, wait. Let me see if I can find it here. Maybe I didn't put it on here, but I'll go find it real quick because you just got to see it. It's just so absolutely classic and true that. Let's see here. Give me a second. Let's see. Where did I post that at? Gotta show you this, though. Way scarier than QAnon any day. See if I can find it. Hold on. Here it is, right here. All right, you ready for this? Here you go. Right here. All right, look, amateur looters, professional looters, these guys are more scary than any conspiracy theories you could ever come up with. bunch of devils. Anyway, so I had to show you that. All right. Yet while these ideas will no doubt fade in time, there is arguably a much more enduring conspiracy theory that also pervades America in the form of young earth creationism. So now, you, young earth creationists, are dangerous people. You that believe God, and you that believe the Bible, and you that believe that God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and you actually believe that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, that you have purpose, that God cared enough for man, that God cared enough for him that he created him, that he breathed into his nostrils, that man is a special part of God's creation. He is the crowning of God's creation. Right? There's something wrong with you people. You that believe in life and you that hold life dear. Right? Here we go. And it's one that we cannot ignore because it's dangerously opposed to science. I love how they do that. Science. They sound like Chewbacca or something. Science. That's who they sound like when they blare it out at you when you're preaching the Bible to them. Science. Except, okay, so what's the science for wearing like 3 masks? Nothing. What's that mask do to protect you? Nothing. Okay, for the people at home that share science all the time and scream science, well, science proves there's only 2 genders, you dum-dums. Right, science means knowledge. So, science. Science says there's only 2 genders. Science says that. That's what science says. But you guys don't believe in science. Right? When science tells you that there are only male and female, but I could be whatever I want to be. I could be whatever I want to be. Then when science agrees with God, you don't want to follow science anymore. Right? Right, Snopes? They don't want to follow science then. Of course not. I mean, I didn't have to ask my boy when he was born, nor would I ask him when he was born 2 weeks ago. What he wants to be or wonder what he is. His anatomy told me what he was. Right? Let me stop right here and say something. Maura Hoffman, you said the new administration is building NASA back up. No, that would have been Trump that built NASA back up. And Space Force and all kinds of other things. That was Trump that did that. It's not just him.
all working together. Anyway.
So let's go on. So let's, you know, hip hip hooray, let's hear it for science, right? Oh, wait, not real science. I mean, real science is going to tick off the devil-possessed transgenders. That tell them there's only two genders. Okay. All right. And it's one that we cannot ignore because it's dangerously opposed to science. Well, how come you've ignored transgenderism? Why are you ignoring all those other things that are dangerously opposed to science? Oh, I know why, because you hate God. And nobody hates something that's not real. Amen. We're on a lot of lists. Praise God. And I'm glad I'm on the list that's written in heaven, brother. Woo! That's where I'm at. Amen. Might as well make them all mad before we die. In the U.S. today, up to 40% of adults agree with young earth creationists. Claim that all humans are descended from Adam and Eve within the past 10,000 years. Well, in the U.S. today, up to 40% of adults agree. Well, that's good that there's at least 40%. What's wrong with the other 60%? Too much dope? Too much pornography? Too much evolution? Look, make no mistake about it. There's one religion I love to war against, and it is the religion of the beast. It is evolution and all its children. Mm-hmm. I love to war against that. I do. I absolutely enjoy warring against the science falsely so-called of evolution, the religion of the beast. Why don't you just say that to them next time they say that to you? You just say it to them. Well, it is the religion of the beast, you know. Why am I having so much fun today? Why am I enjoying this so much? Man, I'm having a lot of fun. They also believe that living creatures are the result of a special creation rather than evolution and shared ancestry. I mean, really? I mean, what's wrong with them? I mean, what's wrong with those people? I mean, they actually believe that God loved man and he created him out of the dust. They actually believe that God made them superior to all other creatures. I mean, yeah. They do. They believe that. They actually believe that. What's... I'll play this for you.
It seems so unbelievable, and yet they say that it's true. They're teaching our children in schools now that humans were monkeys once too. Although it's so ridiculous, they teach them now that it's true. The teachers that came from a monkey would be better off in the zoo. I'm no kin to the monkey, The monk is no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. It's so much more believable, and surely, surely it's true, that God made man in his image. No monkey story will do. This monkey business has to go, because it just isn't true. It's such a disgrace to the monkey, disgrace to the human race too. I'm no kin to the monkey, the monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree.
Amen. That's right. I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. Okay, so here we go. They also believe that living creatures are the result of special creation rather than evolution and shared ancestry. And that Noah's flood was worldwide. And responsible for the sediments in the geological column. You know, such as those exposed at the Grand Canyon, you losers. Dum-dums. I mean, people actually believe this book, The Genesis Flood, that was written. Such beliefs derive the doctrine. Do you know where they get those beliefs from? From biblical infallibility. Those Christians actually believe. Here's where the scary conspiracy is. That those Christians actually believe that this infallible book, that this book is infallible right here, this King James Bible, you know those people believe that's in, you know how dangerous it is that they believe that book's infallible? Yeah. You know that book that says do no harm, that book that says love your neighbor as yourself. You know that book that says love your enemies. You know that book? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I mean, you know that infallible book that they hold to? You know the one that predicted? Wait, you mean that book? That book, that King James Bible, that book right there, that predicted there would the religion of the beast, that showed the religion of the beast. Right? That book that showed the religion of the beast, that said that there would be, that the quickest way to destroy you know, like the blueprint to destroy any culture or any people. Right? That blueprint is found in Romans chapter 1, that religion of the beast. Paul said it. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, Snopes, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts. And creeping things. Wherefore God. Well, look what they did. They changed that, right? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who worshipped and served the creature. What is the religion of the beast? To worship and serve the creature. That's the religion of the beast. That's what it is. So, our Bible told us that, you know, these people are going to come along. These people are going to come along. And they're going to teach the religion of the beast. And they're going to mock God. That's what they're going to do. And that's what they did. Such beliefs derive from the doctrine of biblical infallibility, which, by the way, we do hold to. I hold to the doctrine of biblical infallibility. Which I also hold to the doctrine of geocentricity. Because God said the sun moves. The sun rises, the sun sets. So, you say, but if you hold on to geocentricity, people aren't going to believe you. They're gonna mock you. Well, they already mock us for the virgin birth. They already mock us for God making the world in 6 days. They already mock us for believing the earth is 6,000 years old or 7,000 years old. They already mock us for believing this book. What do I care if I tack on another thing that they mock me for? Why would I care? Why would I care what any of those people think? Why would I be concerned with that? I'm not concerned that they mock me for the virgin birth. I'm not concerned that they mock me for substitutionary atonement. I'm not concerned that they mock me for the infallibility of the scriptures. Life after death. Eternal life, the resurrection of the dead, the judgment seat of Christ. Why would I care if they mock me because the Bible says the sun moves and I believe God's word?
Why would I care? I don't care. They hate God. Of course they're going to mock the truths of the scriptures. Why wouldn't they? Such beliefs derive from the doctrine of biblical infallibility, long accepted as integral to the faith of numerous evangelical and Baptist churches throughout the world. Those Baptists. There's those young earth creationists. What's wrong with those people? They're dangerous. Well, let's look at who's the dangerous ones, though. The only danger we are in is the Satan's kingdom. That's the only danger we are, is the Satan's kingdom. We wouldn't harm a hair on their head. But we are dangerous to Satan's kingdom. But I would argue that the present-day creationist movement is a fully-fledged conspiracy theory. It meets all the criteria, offering a complete parallel universe with its own organization and rules of evidence. Wait, what about your rules of evidence? Well, let's... This so-called... He says that offering a complete parallel universe with its own organization and rules of evidence, and claims that the scientific establishment promoting evolution is an arrogant and morally corrupt elite. Well, it is. The science mob, the science mafia is morally corrupt and elite. How are they not morally corrupt and elite? Evolution, the religion of the beast, brought to you Survival of the Fittest, brought to you eugenics, brought to you Planned Parenthood, brought to you abortion. Pretty morally corrupt, isn't it? To sterilize women in the South? For Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood? That's pretty morally corrupt. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say Margaret Sanger, who said the most merciful thing that a large black family could do, would be to have an abortion? That's pretty corrupt. Isn't it? Is that a conspiracy? Is that creationist conspiracy? Well, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like there's verifiable evidence that Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger only followed Darwin's teachings and Darwin taught survival of the fittest. Darwin was a eugenicist. Darwin believed that man was created and was not created, but evolved from the beast, from the image of the beast.
Well, that's not conspiracy. That's fact. It's a fact that now Planned Parenthood is trying to hide the fact that their founder was a racist, eugenicist, God-hating, murderous witch. Huh. Well, that's not a conspiracy. Let me see here. Look. Well, Planned Parenthood of Greater New York announces intent to remove Margaret Sanger's name from the NYC Health Center. Well, why would you do that? As a public commitment to reckon with its founder's harmful connections to the eugenics movement. Well, that sounds like a conspiracy to try to fool people into thinking, into erasing the foundation of Planned Parenthood. Well, that isn't a Christian pushing that conspiracy. Well, that's Planned Parenthood. Wait. Wait, Snopes didn't have a problem with that? Well, huh. Well, interesting, isn't it? Like how that's not really reckoned with. I don't see that. Well, because those creationists, what they're doing, they're talking about, you know, like, they're saying that evolution is promoting evolution is an arrogant and morally corrupt elite. Well, isn't it? Isn't that what that was just now? That's, this so-called elite supposedly conspires to monopolize academic employment and research grants. Well, it does. Its alleged objective is to deny divine authority, and the ultimate beneficiary and prime mover is Satan. Well, is that a conspiracy, or is that true? Because when you reject the God of the Bible and you worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is God blessed forever, then aren't you doing that? Doesn't the science mafia, aren't there article after article after article after article out there of doctors and scientists and people that lose grants or get blackballed by the science mob and can't get into any universities and can't get any grants and can't get anything else? Isn't that isn't that what they do? Yeah, there's testimony after testimony of it. Right? There's a great amount of testimony. Creationism reemerged in this form in reaction to the mid-20th century emphasis on science education. Its key text is a longtime bestseller, The Genesis Flood, by John C. Whitcomb and Henry Morris. So he goes on to explain that. He goes on to explain Ken Ham, the founder of the Chief Executive Answers in Genesis, is also responsible for the highly lucrative Ark Encounter theme park in the Creation Museum in Kentucky. As a visit to any of these websites will show, their creationism is completely hostile to science, while paradoxically claiming to be scientific. They've already been calling creationism Christianity. Same thing. They've been calling it crazy forever. Much learning doth make thee mad, Paul. Paul, you're crazy. Right? Much learning doth make thee mad. These are common conspiracy theory tactics at play. Creationists go to great lengths to demonize the proponents of evolution. I think evolution does a pretty good job demonizing itself, wouldn't you say? There are numerous organizations among them, Biologus, the American Scientific Affiliation, or the Faraday Institute and the Clergy Letter Project, which describe itself as an endeavor designed to demonstrate that religion and science can be compatible, that is, promoting evolution science within the context of religion belief. Even so, creationists insist on linking together the separate topics of evolution, materialist philosophy, and the promotion of atheism. Well, let me tell you something right now. No, you can't. Christianity, the religion of the beast, is not compatible with the religion of Christ. They are not compatible. One is to worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And they are absolutely diametrically opposed. They are opposed completely. They are opposed. The religion of the beast, to worship and serve the creature, is opposed completely, diametrically in opposition to creation. Without a doubt. Like no way around it. Completely opposed. Absolutely. So he goes on, he's going to cite some things here. He talks about some rep that says evolution is from hell, which that rep is right. Like other conspiracy theorists, creationists immunize themselves from fact-based criticism. They label the study of the past as based on unprovable assumptions, thus disqualifying in advance the plain evidence of geology. Pray tell, my friend, would you give me the plain evidence of geology? I would love to have the evidence that they have. In geology. Because when I go to the lowest, the Cambrian stratosphere, when I go to the lowest, which is the Cambrian, when I go all the way down there, I find fully formed fossils, I find no transitional species, and I find absolutely intelligent, fully intact organisms, animals, fossils of them. I don't find any transitional species. Why in the Cambrian, why with the Cambrian explosion, why is that the case? Why in the lowest strat? They never explain that to you. Then they attack other evidence by focusing on specific frauds. Wait a minute, you guys wrote in your textbook that these weren't frauds. Piltdown Man. A hoax skeleton purportedly of a missing link between humans and other apes that was debunked more than 60 years ago. Or the dinosaur bird, the Archaeoraptor. Archaeoraptor. It's not true because they have the Archaeoraptor. And here's one of my favorite targets as well. Ernest Haeckel, whose pictures of embryos published in 1874 are now considered to be seriously inaccurate. They lied. Look what he says. However, they do correctly draw attention to what most matters here, the features shared during the development by different organisms. Why? Because there's the same designer? They're lying! And let's talk about Haeckel. How about a blast from the past? Here we go. We're going to talk about Darwin's demonic disciples. Is there any other kind for Darwin? No, there isn't really. A man named Haeckel or Haeckel, I've never really figured out how to pronounce that guy's name yet, so I guess it doesn't matter. But Haeckel is how we got Hitler. That's really what I've titled this sermon, Darwin's Demonic Disciples, Haeckel, How We Got Hitler. And it is. I'm going to show you how, if it wasn't for a man named Darwin, and if it wasn't for a man named Haeckel, you wouldn't have had Hitler. You wouldn't have had the rise of Nazism the way it did, and what the religion that fueled it. And so to speak, I guess you could call it the science that fueled it. It's not really science. It would probably be falsely so called because it's not even good science, right? But Haeckel, this man, he was used, he worshipped Darwin, this man did. He was used to pump this propaganda into Germany and turn it over so a man like Hitler could come along and he could rise up and he could run the world, basically, or attempt to run the world from Germany and eradicate races of people. Listen, let's pray first. Father, Lord, I pray you bless us. Help us understand this. Ah, Lord, these are trying times, and it's good to know that history them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, and tell the lie, the more it's believable to people. And that's what happened. That's what he did. Only this lie caught on and found a man who took it to its extreme. So he'd be considered a radical, right? Maybe not. Maybe just a real believer. In Islam, if you have a radical or you have a real believer, well, they kill non-believers. You know, I'm so sick of the Libertarian Party, by the way, and some of these guys that are Libertarian, even Baptists, Libertarian Baptists, they got their head in the sand, and for some reason they think that everything's just a big false flag, and that Muslims really don't want to kill people. Well, let me tell you, I understand that all Muslims don't want to kill people. I get that, okay? But I'm not dumb enough to believe that if somebody follows their demonic book to the extreme all the way, if they are faithful believers of their demonic book, if they are fundamental in their faith, what will they do? Kill all non-believers. Kill all infidels. Wake up. How dumb can you be? Yeah, I know there's PSYOPs. I know there's CIA. I already understand all that. But you still can't get away from the fact that they're demon-filled people that follow a demonic book. But it's like there's a great disconnect today with that. Like, that's not really happening. It's all a false flag. They're not really going to cut your head off, or they wouldn't really want to do that to you. Really? Well, how can the black Hebrew Israelites walk up to you and you walk up in the, and they're not Muslim, but I mean, they, you walk up to them and they say, well, we're going to kill, there's a day you're going to come to our neighbor, we're going to kill all y'all. Christian and Muslims are the same, yeah. Well, no, we're actually Esau, and I think they're Ishmael, I don't know, but anyway, whatever. Those black Hebrew Israelites are really crazy people. But anyway, so the point is that what these people follow their religion completely, evolution. Hitler just followed it completely. That's all he did. He followed what Haeckel said, what Darwin said. He just believed it. I'm sorry if you ain't a real believer. Come on.
I'm going to show you tonight, though. I'll show you. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Yeah, I mean, I would say this, they fall into that, don't they? What did they have to do first? So in Romans chapter 1, they had to deny God. Remember? They denied God. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So what did they become? Without natural affection. What is that? That's not just homosexuality. That's not just bestiality. That's looking at life and saying, well, your life is not that important because you're this color. And you have imperfections in your bloodline, so you're not that important, so we'll kill you. What is that? That's without natural affection is what that is. Mm-mm. That's without natural affection. Without understanding, without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful, unmerciful. How about Hitler? He was unmerciful, wasn't he? We'll talk about that more on Sunday. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. How many had pleasure in what Hitler was doing? How many fueled his fire and prepared him? Well, this man did. Ernst? Is it Ernst? Do I have to really call this guy? I'm just going to call him Hackle. That's what I'm going to call him. I'm sorry. That's his last name. I'm not going to call him Ernst. It's just weird. It sounds like you're missing like it should be Ernest, but you're missing the E. You know what I mean? Oh, this is a real problem for me. Don't look at me like that. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. It's really a problem for me. I'm going to stumble over that all night. Is that what it is? Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Because Nate couldn't tell me. I asked him a lot, but he wouldn't tell me anything. So, Darwinism, enthusiastically, in Germany and elsewhere in Europe, he met Darwin 3 times and nearly worshipped the man. How could you worship that ball of mess that guy was? What a mess that guy was. Hackel has been called one of the most influential and controversial thinkers of his time. His scientific writings sold, listen to this, in the hundreds of thousands and were translated into 25 languages. Richard Weikert says they were probably the most popular nonfiction books in Germany in that day, from Darwin to Hitler, page 24. There's a book out there, From Darwin to Hitler. Very interesting. It has a lot of facts. A lot of facts. So, in other words, this man Hackel, whoever he is, you don't know who he is yet, but this man right here, his books sold in the hundreds of thousands, and they sold all over Germany, their most popular books in Germany. Well, I wonder what he taught. Well, if he was friends with Darwin, it wasn't anything good, that's for sure. All right. In March of 2000, issue of Natural History, Stephen Jay Gould stated this about him. Hackel forcefully, eminently, and comprehensively, if not always accurate, books appeared in all major languages and surely exerted more influence than the works of any other scientist, including Darwin, in convincing people throughout the world about the validity of evolution. In 1921, a physiologist, Max Verwin, said this, "One can state without exaggeration that no scientist has exercised a greater influence on the development of our contemporary worldview than Hackel." Wow. Now, that's saying a lot, isn't it? Yeah, that's why I call him an inventor of evil things. Because he invented it. He made it up. It wasn't real. He just lied. Everything he said was a big lie. Yes, there is a trail. There's a trail from Darwin to Hitler. And these, by the way, these wicked devils, now let me tell you something. They are trying to erase these steps as much as they possibly can and try to water down what was done and try to deny the fact that Hackel was that important of a man or anything like that, but they can't. They still use his embryo charts, which are falsified. They still use all of their records. Go get the Evolution Cruncher. You can download the PDF file for free, or you can buy the book, buy a bunch of them, and hand them out to people. It's a good book. You should get it. Amen? But download the PDF file. You can get it for free if you want it. I can send you the PDF file. But get that book, download it, and use it. You will use it to defend the faith against evolution. And it'll show all the falsifications in evolution. It just shows everything. The history of it. How they're just a bunch of liars. I changed the name of this series to The Satanic Roots of Evolution. Because it just fits completely. Because that's really what I'm trying to expose here. But they want to try to get rid of this link here. But you can't. He described the effect that Haeckel's book, Natural History of Creation, had on him at age 16, this man did. Listen to this. He said, it seemed that all problems of heaven and earth were solved simply and convincingly. There was an answer to every question which troubled the young mind. Evolution was the key to everything and could replace all the beliefs and creeds which one was discarding when there were no creation, no God, no heaven and hell, only evolution and the wonderful law of recapitulation, which demonstrated the fact of evolution to the most stubborn believer in creation. It was so fascinated and shaken up that I was so fascinated and shaken up that I had to communicate to others my new knowledge. Listen to this. So he went around. Listen to what this young man did at the time. He said, I went around communicating this truth to others, my new knowledge. And this was done in the schoolyard on school picnics among friends. I remember vividly a scene during a school picnic when I stood surrounded by a group of schoolboys to whom I expounded the gospel of Darwin as Haeckel saw it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Haeckel has rightly been called the apostle of Germany for Darwinism, for evolution. He was the apostle of Germany. Don't you? I'm trying to get you to understand the importance of this, because I know you do, but just think with me here for a second. Do you realize the multi-millions of people that were killed because of this man, because of what these men spread?
So I want you to understand something. Like this preacher is telling you, this young preacher back here about 5 years ago, or 6 years ago now, what he's telling you is that these men and their drawings, that Haeckel's influence, all a lie. People believed that teaching. Simply based on those drawings. They were deceitful men that did what they did. But creationism by this guy is called a conspiracy, because millions of people and a whole nation and a world were completely convinced. By this man.
They were murdered because of this man. All with their teachings, what they taught. And was accepted. What did they invent? I call them inventors of evil things. Why? Because they invented a way that others could deny God with phony evidence that doesn't even exist in doctored photos. By the way, that scientists, all scientists for the most part, have confessed that Haeckel's charts are false. They're false. They're phony. They're not even accurate. They can't be. It's impossible. So who is this man? And how did he get a platform that Hitler could stand up on and use it to murder people? Well, he was born into a liberal Christian home. You know, there it is. Let's stop there for a second. Because I'm telling you, it matters what you believe. It matters what you teach your children. It matters what book you stand on. It matters the validity of the scriptures and that you take all of the scriptures and believe everything in them and not just some of it. Not trying to explain away some of it that you're not comfortable with or that you don't like, but that you believe the word of God. Because you know what? These wishy-washy people sent people into atheism. Because they had no power of God. You know, Brother Russ says this before. He said, if your family's never seen the power of God, you know, you're going to be in trouble. They need to see the power of God. They need to see God's power in your life. They need to see answered prayer. So the Bible was rejected. What did you do? Translation? German rationalism. Explained away the Bible. Explained away the miracles of the Bible. And said, yeah, these are some great stories you could apply to your life. But really, those miracles didn't really happen. That's not really the Word of God. You don't really follow that book that much, do you? You know, I think we've had some German rationalism creep into our fundamentalist churches today. I think it's back. You know, why do you say that, preacher? Because I see all these people that when you start preaching against sin and you start preaching, they try to do away with that. They try to water that down or dumb that down. And say, you know, leave it up in the air and never have a definitive right and wrong is what led to this mess. Don't you understand? All of these people were raised in a semi-Christian home. All of these people had turned out to be devils. I've seen a lot of religious devils in my life.
Boy, that's for sure. And 5 years, 6 years later almost, I've seen a lot more.
Do you understand that this denial of the perfect, infallible words of God is what's led many astray into evolution? Either you believe it all, you believe everything in this book, or you don't. But a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's why I don't let people get away with challenging one bit of this book or speaking against it. Because it's God's holy word. And it's perfect. And every miracle is true and every jot and tittle is inspired by God. If you want to destroy the faith of children, then start questioning the Word of God whether it's all true. I don't mean question it, like study it to try to prove it. I'm not talking about yourself approved unto God. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying questioning the validity of it. Well, older manuscripts and all this other garbage. What do you think's caused people not believe in the Word of God? First of all, they don't have it. They don't know where it is. Second of all, they've listened to so many critics that have come from the same spirit as these guys. You're going to end up being an atheist. You're going to believe in evolution is what you're going to be in. You know, and by the way, we're going to talk about the gap theory because this is where the stuff, but not the divine revelation part. We'll do away with that. No, you can't do away with that. If you do away with that, it's no good. Pantheist. He became a pantheist. He said he started studying medicine. It turned him into a pantheist. He was called the Gadara of Jena. Haeckel was morally loose. He had many mistresses. In 1898, when he was 64 and his wife was an invalid, he began a multi-year-long adulterous affair with a woman 34 years his junior. You know, these guys are always perverts. They're just always a bunch of perverts. And that's why they want to deny God. If you study Darwin, all they use...
Whoops. Hit the wrong button. Uh-oh. Let's see. I hope I'm still here. It looks like I'm still recording. I might have hit the wrong button somewhere. Let me see where that went. Well, I'm trying to find it. Hopefully I'm still on here. I don't know how I hit that. What button I hit? Huh. Let's see. I don't know how that happened. Let's see here. I'll get you back in a second here. I don't know what happened. Let's see, hold on. All right. I don't know how I got it. I have no idea what I did there. I hit something by mistake. It looks like I'm still streaming, though, so I'll keep going. I got to try to find this somewhere. Okay, I think it still has me on here. I'm pretty sure it does. Am I still here, everybody? You can hear me? I hope. I have no idea what happened there. I'm like a monkey that hit buttons like Aaron. And all of a sudden, I just lost everything for a minute there. Sorry, guys. I have no idea what happened.
Usually are like perverted in some way. Now, Darwin wasn't as much as the other guys, but, well, yes, he was. He married his cousin. And, yeah, he was a pervert, so what am I saying? Sorry. Well, he was too devil-possessed to do anything. Listen to this, though. There's always a trail of this morbid life. Hackle's daughter, Emma, had to be committed to a mental institution for the last part of her life. Why do all these people go insane? All of them. You trace their history. Their daughters, the resurrection. They had no hope of eternal life. They have no hope of God. They have no hope in anything. But all there is death to them. All their life is has no existence. All they are is just protoplasm.
Okay, so basically what we have here is what you're hearing is a lot about Hackle's life, whatever you want to call him. You're hearing about like who he was. His phony charts. I have a sermon somewhere where I nailed a bunch of these things, and I don't know where in the world I have them. I did it about a year and a half ago, or maybe it was 2 years ago, and I did a bunch of different teachings, and I don't know where they're at. I couldn't find them, but they're somewhere, and I did PowerPoints, and I can't remember what I called them or anything like that. So anyway, basically, you can see that Hackle, he was nothing but a liar. But what is that fruit of their system? Because it's all built on lies. Their evidence and everything that they say is built upon lies. That's what they did. They lied. They made drawings and they deceived people. And people believed it. Now, this guy says, Hackle's name appeared on the Answers in Genesis website 92 times. He is also the subject of a lengthy chapter in Jonathan Wells' Icons of Evolution, Science or Myth. This book, which even has its own high school study guide, is what first convinced me back in 2013 that creationism was a conspiracy theory. Really? It didn't convince you that evolution, that you'd been lied to? It's a splendid example of creationist tactics using long rectified shortcomings. You guys never repudiated any of that stuff. But they act like they did. So anyway, basically, you know, they try to compare conspiracies of like Obama's birth certificate and other things to creationism. Well, let's look at the fruit of evolution, the religion of the beast. Let's further look at what the fruit of that is. Because what we actually come to is, without Hackle, without these men, you wouldn't have Hitler. And without the Roman Catholic Church, by the way. Because the Roman Catholic Church does not embrace six-day literal creationism. The Roman Catholic Church embraces evolution.
Without purpose, that's right, no purpose. No wonder that Hackle wrote to his father in 1864. He said this, "Personal individual existence appears to me so horribly miserable, petty, and worthless that I see it as intended for nothing but for destruction." From Darwin to Hitler. And that's a great outlook on life, isn't it? What a positive guy that was, right? What a great outlook on life. Yep, it means nothing. It's petty. It's worthless. Miserable. Horrible existence I have. Yeah, he was right, because he didn't have Jesus Christ. Life has no meaning or importance to the evolutionists. Everything is change, and what does it all really matter, right? What does it all really matter? Nothing. They have no hope. He said this, "For me, the value of Darwin is that the human no longer needs to have a supernatural soul, and that one no longer needs purpose to explain creation." We don't have a purpose to believe in God now because we evolved. So we can deny him, from Darwin to Hitler. Haeckel became a great blasphemer, calling the creator God of Scripture a gaseous vertebrate. That's what he called him. That's what he called the God of the Bible. He called him a gaseous vertebrate. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 1, verse number 28? "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." All of it, the whole list. Run it. You see him in evolutionists. You see it right there. Haeckel's God was nature. He was the inventor of the term ecology. He believed in a sort of metaphysical power in nature that he called monism or monism. He wrote, "We are compelled by reaction to recognize that God is not to be placed against the material world as in Christianity, but must be placed as divine power or moving spirit within the cosmos itself." What was he tripping on? What is that? That's nothing more than pagan pantheism, wherein God is in everything as a force. God is a force. You mean like Star Wars? Yeah, sort of. Haeckel believed that the religion of nature would destroy Christianity and envisioned a time when churches would become places of nature worship.
Wow.
Well, he's not far off.
Yep.
It's evolved. He envisioned, listen to this, the enthroning of Urania or Venus, the Greek goddess of astrology, love, and beauty in the place of Jesus Christ. He said the religious service of the Sunday, which will continue as the ancient day of rest, of edification, relaxation that follows the six work days of the working week, will undergo an essential improvement in the monistic church. The mystical belief in supernatural miracles will be replaced by clear knowledge of the true miracles of nature. And temples, the temples of God as places of devotion, will not be adorned with the images of saints and crucifixes, but with richly artistic representations from the inexhaustible realms of beauty of natural and human life. He said, between the high columns of the Gothic cathedrals, which have climbing plants winding around them, slender palms, and tree ferns, graceful banana trees, and bamboos will remind...
I mean, like, what would ever possess a Christian man to think that Haeckel and that the religion of the beast would be against God? Like, there was actually a conspiracy. What would ever convince you of that? What's wrong with those creationists to think that about evolution? And what's wrong with them to be the way they are about that? What kind of conspiracy theories are they following? Why would they feel that way? I don't know, because there's a lot of evidence that's saying the same thing that God warned us about. "For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God." Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. You mean like Haeckel's embryos? Like abortion? Like all those things? Without understanding, covenant breakers? Disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection? Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death? Well, it's almost like the Bible predicted evolution and that religion of the beast would be taught. And the beast which, Revelation 13, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Is it a conspiracy? Yeah, the religion of the beast is. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. And his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon. The earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of the beast, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So, what do we have here? Well, we have the culmination of that end times worship. Snopes is just telling you they follow the religion of the beast. God warned about the religion of the beast. God's showing you that the end time religion will be beast worship. The same religion that was taught in Genesis chapter 3. Beast worship. Evolution. Beast worship. Right? That's the end time religion. That's the culmination. But understand this, it's hybridized. It's hybridization, because here's why. Because you are going to have this, evolution is nothing more than leading to the beast. That's what it's doing. It's leading to the beast worship. Man is going to form a god in his own image. And Satan is going to give life unto the image of the beast. Right there. Right there. So, this is that end time religion. By the way, that's why you're going to see bestiality. All of this is about bestiality too. This is that mixture. Homosexuality, transgenderism, bestiality. All of it. You bet it is. Pedophilia. All of it. That's what it's about. All those things. But it's about bestiality. Mm-hmm. It's part of the religion of the beast. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about right there. That's what it is. That's where it's all leading. That's where it's all going right there, friend. Mm-hmm. They're a bunch of God haters. It's who they are. But we're the dangerous ones. Oh, you're dangerous because you don't believe science. Right? You don't believe science.
I call this evolution's impact on abortion the science of death. The science of death. It's science falsely so called, obviously. But it's of death. That's what it's about. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now and worship and serve the creature, death. That's what evolution produces, is death. That's all that it can produce, is death.
Amen.
Right, yeah.
That's it. That's right. Proverbs 24, verse number 11 says this, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it?"
So much there. We could go on and on and on, but there's not enough time for that today. Anyway, so we take the conspiracy charge and we show you what the real conspiracy is. But see, this is how witches operate. In closing, let me tell you this. This is how witches operate. People that practice witchcraft, what they're blatantly accusing you of like this, they're the ones practicing. That's how they operate. And that's what these people are doing. That's what Snopes does. They're telling you they want to give you the truth, but they're really practicing deceit. The truth is this book. This is the truth. And that's why they hate it. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, then you need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. Have your sins forgiven you by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Turn to Christ and be saved today. If you've been a part of that beast system, if you've followed evolution, if you've had an abortion, if you've done any of those things, you can be forgiven of those things. Turn to Christ today and be born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I make all things new." The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Christ Jesus died on the cross for sinners, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And you can be saved and have life eternal through him. All right, everybody. I think that's about it for me today. I think I nailed it pretty good there by the grace of Almighty God and gave you some truth there and some things to take home and some things to ponder and to understand. I hope it was a blessing to you. I'm going to take off a little bit early, get some things done, and I got to go get some exercise, though. I can't do much outside. It's too stinking cold out there. But my feet just freeze out there, and, well, it's cold. So, anyway. Send me that again, Deborah Hearn, about that Lucifreeze thing. I didn't get a chance to look at it. You're going to have to send it to me again. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just get bogged down with things, and I don't get back to them. It happens. Right now it's -0, and the wind chill is -15. So, anyway. So I'm going to try to get a different type of working out done today here, and go do a few things and all that good stuff. But listen, pray for our ministry. We'll be back, Lord willing, on Wednesday with another broadcast. And you pray for us, pray for our ministry. Sermon audio, let me go there. You can find our new sermons, obviously. All our new sermons at sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can find those. Okay, they changed sermon audio around a little bit, but not for you guys, just for us. But the newest sermon that I preach is called Impassable Places in the Christian Life. It's in the Conquering Canaan series. We just started Joshua chapter 3. Listen to that sermon. That will be a blessing to you. It'll help you if you're struggling with some things right now, if you're in a tough spot right now. So it's something that you can check out, okay? I think it'll help you. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Other sermons, put a new one up. We put that one up. Let's see. I didn't preach 3 yesterday. I only preached 2 yesterday. So, but this impossible, Donatus sermon went long. But anyway, so we have the Donatus one, the history of the Donatus, Constantine and the Donatus. That'll be on there. You can listen to that one as well. It'll be on there soon. I don't know when Luke will get that on there, or Andrew will get that on there, but we'll get it on there. If you want to donate to our ministry, you could donate through our website or through our sermon audio page here. Hit the give button here, or you can go to PayPal directly. You can go to PayPal. It's salvationpreacher@gmail.com, salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or pastorcooley@icloud.com. You could donate, through PayPal there. Go to those, addresses, pastorcooley@icloud.com or salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or you can mail us something. If you go to the bottom of our sermon audio page, you can find out what our address is and you can mail us something there and we would be appreciative of that. And check that out there for sure. When your sermons last an hour and a half long, you're preaching 3 hours anyway. So usually what I'm doing is preaching about 3 hours on Sunday because my sermons end up technically being almost an hour and a half long most of the time. So that's what ends up happening and all that good stuff. Plus, I do some things with our children. We have scripture memorization that our children recite, and we do that in the afternoons, and we get into that a lot too. So we end up... That usually takes about a half an hour to 45, usually about 45 minutes for me to do. Last time some of the children memorized, last week I gave them 2 weeks to memorize it, and a great number of our children, the older ones, memorized 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 13 verses. So they memorized that, and then some of them memorized anywhere from 2, the little ones anywhere from 2 to 7 verses. So they're all memorizing scripture, so it's a blessing to see them do that. So I do that with them and all that fun stuff. So we have a good time on Sunday afternoons, with our young ones. And
and teaching them Bible and getting them memorizing scripture and all that good stuff. So, you know, it's a blessing for sure. Anyway, so praise the Lord for that. And I look forward to being back with you soon. Probably Wednesday, I might do a truck talk. Who knows? Maybe a truck talk tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. But we'll see if the Lord allows that and what we have going on. But anyway, God bless you all. Take care. And I'll try to stay warm. It's freezing. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care.